Counting deer droppings is a time-honored method used by biologists to figure out how many deer are in a certain place. But it's not a perfect science. One deer's droppings tend to look the same as another's, and they're tough to find in brushy rainforest. But as KRBD's Jay Marble reports, biologists are now using DNA testing to identify and count deer.
Figuring out how many deer are in one place actually matters. It helps game managers set bag limits. Many methods can be used to estimate deer numbers. Managers can ask hunters how many deer they've seen or how many they've shot. That certainly gives a perspective, but it can also be subjective. Roadside counts and aerial surveys are also tough because of the brush and rough terrain. Counting deer droppings or pellets, which has been done over the last 30 or so years, also has some problems. Those pellets can melt in the many rain showers or simply end up deposited in hard-to-see places. In the winter, they'll be under snow. But for the last couple of years, university staff, fish and game biologists, and Forest Service biologists have been collecting deer pellets from Prince of Wales Island and extracting DNA. Todd Brinkman is a PhD student at the University of Fairbanks. Here he is explaining the nitty-gritty of how pellets are collected and managed.
Okay, so we're down in the field during the spring, and we collect these pellets, and we preserve them in these test tubes that are filled with ethanol, or it's just an alcohol preservative. And we bring them back, and they're basically stored in a box in a cabinet. But once we get back here, we extract DNA off the pellets, and then we basically have this very small test tube with clear liquid in it, and we don't deal with the pellets again. So, yeah, the lab isn't filled with random fecal pellets everywhere. They're stored. After DNA is extracted, they're stored, and we really don't deal with them again.
Brinkman says each pellet is like a little library. Not only does it identify a particular deer, but also reveals the sex of the deer. Knowing the ratio of males to females is one of the most important pieces for game managers, especially because antlerless hunts can be a very controversial practice. But getting back to collecting the pellets off the ground, Brinkman says the same deer trails get searched about every 10 days. When a group of pellets is found, a few are collected and the rest are removed.
So when we walk that exact same trail 10 days later, we know that all the pellet groups that we're encountering were freshly deposited, and the deer has been there since the last time we were. So we're getting some spatial information on the deer since we're recording the location of the pellet group, and we're getting some information on when it was there.
Brinkman says for the first time in Southeast Alaska, biologists are actually getting detailed estimates of numbers. These pellets are collected in all kinds of terrains and elevations. It just so happens that the first 2 years of the study coincided with very harsh winters.
And our preliminary data right now is at least showing that those harsh winters did have a pretty significant impact on deer numbers in all the watersheds that we looked at.
Brinkman says having 3 years of very detailed genetic information from pellets might also give greater value to data collected from pellets over the last 20 or 30 years, even though those pellets were not tested for DNA. At this point, the data from the last 3 years is being processed. Besides being valuable for game managers, Brinkman says the data will be described in community reports, which may also include density maps of the various drainages where the pellets were collected. I'm Jay Marble.